Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite cun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So very happy to have you with us today. And wow, do we have a very, very busy day ahead. A lot of stuff happening all over America. So buckle up, folks. Hope you put some Red Bull on the Fruit Loops today because we got to get to it. Now, last night, there was something very unusual that happened at the University of California, Davis. And we've been providing extensive coverage of the attacks on our freedoms on our public university campuses for years now. And it really is becoming the major issue of the day. We are living in a time where students are being told, they're being trained, they're being taught to silence any speech they disagree with. And it's a very disturbing thing, and we've got an incident that happened last night that I want to bring to your attention. Now, all of this happened at the University of California, Davis. Charlie Kirk from Turning Point USA was giving a speech. About 1,000 people were in attendance. This was a very well-planned-out speech and heavily promoted in the area, and everybody was pretty riled up about this. I mean, some crazy stuff going down. They had hundreds of protesters in the campus, on the campus, causing all sorts of chaos and all sorts of mayhem. As a matter of fact, at one point, they were actually trying to storm the auditorium where Charlie and all these conservative students were being gathered. And by the way, this was not some sort of a weird this wasn't some sort of an all conservative gathering. This was something else. Something else was going on. Something very disturbing. And we're going to get into this hour of the program, because I think we need to have a conversation in this country about whether or not we should be funding universities that are actually refusing to defend free speech. Now, we're going to play some audio here, and you're going to hear this for yourself. This is the chancellor of the University of California, Davis. They put out a video earlier in the day, and quite frankly, the university and the Sacramento Bee newspaper are guilty of inciting this violence last night. A police officer was injured. Another student on campus was injured. There was a lot of damage, a lot of vandalism. But thank goodness for the UC Davis campus police and other law enforcement agencies that were able to get there to the university and stop the violence from spreading. But all of this was incited by the university leadership. Now, this is a bit of a lengthy piece of audio, but you need to hear it for yourself, because this is a university official absolutely lying about Charlie Kirk. Now, most of the protesters were Antifa, radical LGBTQ activists, and they were spreading lies about Charlie. The Sacramento Bee said that Charlie had advocated for the lynching of transgender people. It's simply not true. It's a lie. As well as the chancellor of the University of California, Davis. Take a listen. Cut two.
Many of you have reached out to me and others regarding tonight's event organized by the registered student organization Turning Point USA, or TPUSA, at UC Davis. Thank you for sharing your distress at a student group hosting a speaker who is a well-documented proponent of misinformation and hate, and who has advocated for violence against transgender individuals. As a campus that is committed to our principles of community, UC Davis stands with our transgender and non-binary Aggies in opposition to this hateful and divisive messaging. UC Davis did not invite this individual and is not sponsoring this event. our chief campus counsel provided me with information and guidance for campuses in this situation. First, the University of California policy permits registered student organizations such as TPUSA to reserve university facilities and invite speakers of their choice. Under UC policy, campuses may not prohibit student organizations such as TPUSA from inviting these speakers, even if the speaker's intended speech is loathsome and hurtful to me and to others in our campus community. With respect to concerns related to violence, UC policy permits denial of requests if the speaker will present a clear and present danger to the campus. And council notes the policy explicitly states the campus carries a heavy burden in justifying such a denial under these circumstances. Our council also notes that there is a similarly heavy burden for criminal prosecution for incitement of violence. In short, while I abhor the inflammatory speech of this speaker, UC policy permits the student organization to invite the speaker. Please be assured that we are monitoring the event closely to determine if a threat or incitement develops that meets that threshold or violates other campus policies. I understand and share your objections to a speaker whose rhetoric is offensive and clearly intended to shock and provoke. As Aggies, we are motivated by a desire to do what is best for our diverse community and for society as a whole. But as a public university dedicated to the pursuit of deeper understanding through the free, open, and civil exchange of ideas, we must also support an environment conducive to the discussion of widely varying ideas and points of view. We are committed to the First Amendment, and we are required to uphold it. But just as we support students' rights to invite speakers to campus, we also affirm the right of students to freedom of expression and to speaking out against hate and discrimination. For us to refuse these rights to any of you would be in violation of the U.S. Constitution, the explicit policy of the UC system, and our own campus policy. We can't control how these groups operate, but we can work together to neutralize and negate their influence. We can deny them the responses and reactions they require to fuel their campaign of antagonism. Provocateurs like this thrive on conflict, so having to speak to an empty room would make a powerful statement. Seeing a community united against hate, celebrating our beautifully diverse community, and standing together in support of our trans and non-binary Aggies shows those who would divide us how hopeless and futile their efforts are, and always will be. Let me reiterate that you are not alone in the concerns you have shared, and you have every right to express your thoughts and engage in nonviolent discussions and dialogue that challenge and condemn discrimination, hateful speech, and hateful actions. At UC Davis, we are resilient, vigilant, and we have the power to hold those who wish to engage us to the highest standards of civil and respectful discourse. We have the ability to critically assess environments we are creating for ourselves and others, and to work together to foster a culture of learning that is as inclusive and respectful as it is passionate and inspired. And we have the courage and compassion to stand together and to take care of each other. As Aggies, this is who we are.
Yeah, they're a bunch of raging leftists who want to shut down free speech. That's what this is all about. But I got to tell you something here, folks. What's really concerning is that this university leader, the chancellor, the president of the university, he actually said that if he could, if he had the power, he would have forbidden Charlie Kirk from coming onto that campus. He would have forbidden Charlie Kirk from being able to address the students. Now, I will tell you, my hat is off to the brave students who turned out for this event. And by the way, there were a lot of liberals in that crowd. 1,000 people turned out. Even though the university chancellor said, you do not go to this event. You boycott this event. You don't expose yourself to some sort of a conversation that you might find objectionable. So there were liberals and conservatives gathered at UC Davis in defiance of the university chancellor. But Charlie Kirk needs to be given some credit here. Because, by the way, the Sacramento Bee, they're the ones who said Charlie Kirk. They actually published a story saying Charlie Kirk was supporting the lynching of transgender people. It was an absolute lie. So guess what happened? Instead of letting that slide, instead of allowing the newspaper to smear him and slander his good name, guess what Charlie did? They got their attorneys on the line, and before Charlie was even took the stage, the attorneys forced the newspaper to retract the lies they had published. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the lesson here.
When Charlie got up to give his speech, he had prepared remarks. He set those remarks aside, and guess what he did? He played the chancellor's video. You just heard the audio. He played it, and he refuted every single thing that university chancellor said. And quite frankly, they need to be suing UC Davis for slandering his good name. This is absolutely offensive what happened at UC Davis. And Charlie Kirk demonstrated, Turning Point USA illustrated, how you need to confront this. I am so sick and tired of conservatives. And they I get these emails all the time. They'll say, Todd, you're not going to believe what happened to my child. You're not going to believe what happened to me on the job. And then when I say, come on the program, let's talk about it, let's expose the evil, what do? They back away. Oh, no, I can't do that. Oh, I'm afraid I might lose my job, or my neighbors might say something, or somebody might write something mean about me on Twitter. You know what? Forget that. Find your spine, conservatives. We've got to start taking a stand. Did Charlie Kirk and his team go out there and riot at UC Davis? No. They embraced their rights under the U.S. Constitution. And they won the day. Look at what's happening right over at Stanford University. We talked about this a few days ago, where a federal court judge was heckled and shouted down. When he called for help, the administrator came. The dean of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Division showed up and began lecturing the judge. After the university apologized, the students rose up, and now they're protesting the dean of the law school. And here's what needs to happen there. Every single student protesting, they're all law students. So these are individuals who have graduate degrees already. They've already got their bachelor's. They're getting their law degree. Every single one of them should be expelled from Stanford Law School, because we don't need ilk like that in our courtrooms. And they also need to disband. And this is an assignment for every state legislature in America. They need to defund and dismantle any office of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Those divisions only sow disaster. They sow dissension. They sow evil on these university campuses, and we got to get rid of them all. So here's my take. If you're not going to defend free speech, we should defund you. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. The Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they don't have a clue how to fix it, folks. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you're vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, it's physical, and it's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can fit in a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-649-0304 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's 866-649-0304 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. So happy to have you with us today. Welcome, one and all. Let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Stanley on the line from North Carolina. So, Stanley, am I off base here? We've got to play offense moving forward.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. I'm about to give advice to a mastermind that we started, that everybody needs to become Sioux crazy. All patriots, but especially all whites and Christians. Anytime somebody crosses the line, anytime you experience racism on the job or people treating you different, I think that we need to complain to supervisors. We need to call business owners, and we need a league of lawyers who are willing to take on these cases pro bono. I think that complete, like, offense to the point of ridiculousness is the only way to wake up these wokesters.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right there, Stanley. And we've got a story that we're going to talk about later today. There's a guy worked for 7 years in a school district. He's an account clerk. And he was fired because he refused to undergo mandatory transgender training. He said, hey, this violates my religious beliefs. I'm not going to go to one of these indoctrination programs to be told that I have to stop believing what I believe from my religious viewpoint. So, again, it's an idea of forcing belief systems on people. This is not about just letting everybody live their life how they can live their life under the Constitution. This is about forcing people to accept an agenda, whether they agree or not. And if they don't, they're going to be destroyed. And the only reason they've been allowed to do this, Stanley, is through the courts and conservatives and Christians who are afraid to stand up and say something and do something about it.
Well, part of the issue is that, you know, we are forgiving by nature. And we sometimes sit around waiting on God while God is waiting on us. If, you know, God has already blessed America, we need to bless God back. We need to stand up and become Christian soldiers and march.
I'm with you, Stanley, and we've got to do it. And that's one of the things that we try to do on this radio program is give people that platform, give them that voice, introduce them to people who can help them. You know, organizations like Alliance Defending Freedom, Liberty Counsel, First Liberty Institute, Pacific Justice Institute. These are all great law firms that they do pro bono work, and their job is to protect the United States Constitution. Stanley, I appreciate you calling in, and thanks for listening to the program today. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So good for Charlie Kirk. That's what I say. And we need more of this sort of attitude where you don't shy away. As a matter of fact, one of the things I appreciate about Charlie is that he'll take questions from students. And I do a lot of these kinds of speeches. And I love talking to the conservative kids, but I especially love it when a liberal stands up and asks a question. And that's one of the things I like about Charlie is that he will take questions, and most of the questions he gets, they come from the liberals. So he actually is welcoming diversity of opinion and diversity of thought. But that is something that is lacking in public education. And we've got a generation of young people, maybe two generations now, that have been trained, indoctrinated to believe that if you disagree with the opinion, that makes the opinion hate speech. Your opinion is evil. Your opinion must be silenced. And it also gives justification for Antifa and all these other radical groups to come out there and beat you upside the head with a baseball bat. So that's why this is so vitally, vitally important that we address this issue and tackle it head on. And I would encourage you to go to our website and watch the videos from last night. See for yourself what was happening on that campus. And we have a lot of folks weighing in on our social media page. And one lady wrote in and says, Todd, they let him speak, so how is that against free speech? Well, it's against free speech, Ann, because they had to bring in hundreds of police officers to protect Charlie so he could give that speech. The university set the stage for violence last night, and the university was hoping there would be violence because they wanted to stop Charlie. And you heard it from the chancellor himself. That's why we played that long screed, so you could hear with your own ears. See with your own eyeballs, even though it's on the radio. It's theater of the mind. You could hear that this university leader, if he had the power, would have stopped Charlie from speaking. Those kinds of people need to lose their jobs. Sue, baby, sue. That's what I say, America. All right, we got to take a break here. Hannity, Lindsey Graham, wanting us to get involved in World War III. We'll get into that. We're going to be taking your calls, too. 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free call. We pick up the tab. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Just when you thought it could not get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that's made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. And for my listeners, an exclusive. The MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS for the buy one, get one free offer and enter the promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, everybody. Can we talk about World War III for just a moment? It was either that or the school that wants to let kids identify as berry-flavored muffins. No, we're going to get to that. You know what? Why don't we start with... No, we will wait. We're going to hold off on the berry-flavored muffins. Because I would like to know from you, if you could identify, if we're going to be allowed to identify as a food group, what would you like to be identified as? I mean, it's bizarre what's happening on our school campuses. All right, I got to... You know what? We'll start with the berries. Children as young as 7 could now be identifying as mixed berry gender fluid muffins. This is part of a sex education program in the UK, the Daily Telegraph now reporting. It comes after pupils in grade schools were told there are 100 genders. How about that? God's responsible for 2, by the way, male and female. The rest, well, that's on Facebook and the sex and gender revolutionaries. One section on gender identity recommends that teachers play the Mixed Muffin Gender Berry Challenge to learn about how you can't assume someone's gender by how they look. The game consists of making batches of blueberry muffins to represent stereotypes of masculinity, raspberry muffins to represent stereotypes of femininity, and mixed muffins to represent gender fluidity. Teachers are then asked to break open the muffin and stand alongside a corresponding colored balloon in a room. However, there are only blue and pink balloons with no mixed balloons. It's intended to give staff a taste of what it feels like to go to a gender-coded corner they might not identify with, and what it would feel like to give a gender or to be given a gender you might not choose. So now you have children in the UK that think they can identify as gender fluid muffins. We talked about this earlier today, the team, and I've decided if in fact we're allowed to identify as a food, I would either go with a full rack of ribs or banana pudding. So my pronoun would be pudding, if in fact that is if that's where we're going with all of this. I'm telling you, the schools are slap crazy. Homeschool your kids, America. Homeschool your kids. So look, you had Hannity last night, and he's encouraging Biden to launch World War III. Now, we talked about this happened yesterday in the show when you had the Russian jet taking out the U.S. drone. Now, clearly, we can't allow the Russians to shoot down our aircraft. There has to be some sort of a price to pay. But the Biden administration is more concerned about the amount of gas that might have polluted the Black Sea. So everybody is off kilter about this. The Pentagon says this kind of stuff has been going on for a while. And that's even more bothersome and troubling because that means the Russians know they can bully us. The Russians know they can push our buttons and we're not going to do anything about it. So we're really getting ourselves in between a rock and a hard place now. And I suspect, and we sort of developed this theory over the course of the last hour of yesterday's show, that it could be possible that all of this was conjured up to actually draw us into the Russia-Ukraine war. And what better way to do that than to have the Russians, or at least goad the Russians, into shooting down or taking down one of our drones? it's just very odd. And as one of our listeners from Maine brought up a very good point yesterday and said, well, why were we over there in the first place? What were we doing over there? So is it possible, and again, it's theories, is it possible that the Biden administration, the Pentagon, has been trying to goad Russia into a fight that would then lead to boots on the ground in Ukraine fighting the Russians in a land war, World War III? So here's Sean Hannity last night, cut 7.
Russia and Putin's hostility and aggression against our country, the United States, has now reached a dangerous new height. Now, tonight, the question is this. What will your President Joe Biden do? Is he going to offer maybe another waiver for the Nord Stream 2 pipeline? Put more sanctions in place? Putin's not going to care because he's selling his energy and getting filthy rich. He's selling it to China, the rest of the world. And all of this comes as a new axis of evil is emerging between these three top geopolitical foes. China's dictator Xi is now scheduled to hold a very rare but significant meeting with Putin in Moscow. So how much you want to bet they'll probably be trading jokes about just how pathetically weak America's president is? This is beyond embarrassing. This is danger. Danger to the safety and security of the entire world. America's enemies are on the move. They are aggressive. They are consolidating power. They're creating partnerships and alliances that the world better take note of while Joe Biden, your president, is asleep at the wheel. Russia and Putin took out an American drone over international waters. And I ask again, Joe Biden, what are you going to do?
So here you've got Hannity basically calling out Joe Biden and saying it's time to go to war. Russia, meanwhile, is saying the flights near its border are hostile. And so just ask yourself this question. Just ask yourself the question. I'm not defending the Russians here, but what would we be doing and how would we be behaving if Russia was flying close to the Alaskan shoreline? How would we react to that? So the question is a valid question. What are we doing over there? And is this part of an effort to goad the Russians into a shooting war? I don't know. But I also know that we can't allow the Russians to keep shooting down or forcing our planes into the Black Sea. And according to the Pentagon, this has been part of an ongoing issue where the Russians are bullying and intimidating American pilots. This is not a sustainable position. Peace through strength, peace through force. So Lindsey Graham was on Hannity's show. And of course, Lindsey Graham is ready to start shooting down Russian jets. Cut 8.
And here's the sad news. There's probably never been a more important time to be able to own a weapon than now. The threats to the average American are going up, not down. And at the end of the day, the Second Amendment is part of our Constitution. It is part of the fabric of this nation. There is bipartisan support to make sure reasonable gun ownership reigns. But there will be, on our side of the aisle, Mr. Chairman, a robust response to the idea of undoing the legal framework that has come out of the Supreme Court, because we believe now is the time to reinforce.
Sorry about that, folks. I sent Kyle the wrong clip. That's on me. But we're going to get you this audio here momentarily of Lindsey Graham, and we'll pick it up after the break. But Lindsey Graham was on Hannity last night, and he was saying, what would Reagan do? And he said that Reagan would have shot down the Russian jets. So my question to you, ladies and gentlemen, what do we need to do here? What is the appropriate response to what the Russians did yesterday? Do we ignore it? If this is part of an ongoing series of events, do we push back? Do we shoot down the next Russian jet? Do we get ourselves involved in this war in Ukraine and Russia? Because that's what the Democrats want to do. That's what the hawks in the Republican Party want to do. And that's what Fox News Channel wants to do. They want to be able to send their correspondents back to Ukraine so they can cover a shooting war between Russia and the United States. So here we are, ladies and gentlemen. What do we do? Do we go to war or do we stand down? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to tell you about our friends at Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, and they're fighting for us every single day, ladies and gentlemen. They are on the front lines of this war against religious liberty. They're standing up for the Second Amendment, and they're standing up for the unborn. And what I love about Patriot Mobile is they're conservative, and they have a great product. And I would encourage you to check them out. PatriotMobile.com/Todd is the website. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. They have all sorts of plans for your home, for your business. You need multiple lines, they're going to be able to help you out there. And if you are a veteran, if you're a first responder, they're going to be able to help you out with even more discounts. Folks, they make it super simple. They even have a U.S.-based customer service line, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Now, use my promo code, Todd. They're going to give you free premier activation. They're also going to give you a free gift. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd, promo code Todd.
They shot down our drone. What should our answer be?
Well, we should hold them accountable and say that if you ever get near another U.S. set flying in international waters, your airplane would be shot down. What would Ronald Reagan do right now? He would start shooting Russian planes down if they were threatening our assets.
All right. Well, we've got a lot of lawmakers up on Capitol Hill. When they're not in the middle of session, they're listening to this program. Their staffers always monitor this show, and that's because they trust the opinion of our audience. And so the question here, ladies and gentlemen, is what do we do? What is the correct response when the Russians shoot down our drones? Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Steve in Arkansas, listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station. Hi, Steve. What say you?
The question I have for the Fox News gang, Todd, is what should Putin have done when Joe Biden got on television and threatened that he would stop the flow of gas to Europe if Putin didn't do certain things, and all of a sudden their pipeline was blown up?
It's a fair question to ask. I mean, what would have happened had they done that to us? Let's say the Keystone Pipeline was back in action, and all of a sudden it was blown up, and it turned out the Russians were responsible. How do you think we would have responded to that?
Right. I mean, this is like any other disagreement, altercation, or whatever. You got to look at both sides to get the whole story.
But you see, Steve, that's the problem. You're not allowed to, because if you do look at both sides, all of a sudden you're anti-America and you're pro-Putin. That's the argument coming out of even conservative media these days.
Here's what I'm afraid of, Todd. You're talking about World War III. The only chance Russia has of if we get into a true military conflict with them, not a proxy war, their only chance is nuclear weapons.
That's it.
They can't fight us with a conventional war. So why would you want to put somebody in that position when, I mean, what's the gain of it? You talking about, Obama always talked about the Great Reset. Well, we have an all-out nuclear war. You're going to see a great reset, believe me, if you survive it.
Steve, it's a great point you raise, and I appreciate you calling in. This is the challenge we're facing here, ladies and gentlemen, that there are a lot of players afoot. You've got globalism, and you've got globalists who want to diminish the United States and the power we have. The Democrats have been very successful at marginalizing our military. How many times have we had military leaders on this program telling us that we are not equipped right now to fight a war with China or Russia because we're so focused on becoming social justice warriors? We've turned the greatest fighting force in America into a bunch of pronoun-confused social justice warriors. 844-747-8868. Let's go back to the phones. North Carolina, Bunny on the line wants to weigh in on this drone. Hey, Bunny, what's going on?
Nothing. You just mentioned the key word as far as globalists, and that means that some of those globalists are here in the United States of America, and they've got their assets wrapped up in Ukraine and in Russia and in China, etc. But as far as the drone, it's just a really expensive camera, so I don't know why we're throwing such a big fit.
Well, it's not just a camera. These things can carry payloads. They can carry missiles. I suspect, though, it was a camera. They're right now trying to recover it before the Russians get their hands on it. But I think it was a lot more than just a drone that can take pictures.
Well, but then again, it's just a drone. If it were a U.S. military person, I could see how we might want to think differently. But again, it's just a toaster.
No, Bunny, this is not the kind of drone that you would. I don't think you're thinking about the kind of drone I'm talking about. This is literally about the size of an airplane, a 66 foot wingspan. So this is okay. This is a pretty good size plane. So this idea they just ran into it is just simply not true, because it is about
but
the size of
unmanned.
A small plane. Yeah, it is unmanned.
It does
you're right.
Not have an
That's,
American on it.
That is correct. It did not have an American citizen on board.
Okay.
So so what do you say we do? So we just give this a pass?
Sure.
Okay. That's good.
We've given Biden a pass on his assets and his money. And again, we're globalists, and it is what it is, right?
All right. Bunny, we got you down. I appreciate you calling in, and thank you for listening. Now, and Bunny raises a good point. There was not a human being. There was not an American citizen on this drone. It was unmanned. Does that make a difference? 844-747-8868. By the way, don't even look at your 401k today. We're having a rough go of it on the stock market, and we're trying to get a handle on all of this because there are so many dumpster fires burning in this administration, so many different ways that the country could implode. And we still have a lot of time between now and Election Day in 2024. By the way, interesting story coming out of Florida, where Ron DeSantis has really perplexed the establishment and the war hawks of the Republican Party, because he says that Ukraine is not our fight, that it is not in our vital interest to be fighting in Ukraine. And I think that surprised a lot of people who thought that he was going to take a break with Trump on this. So now you have Nikki Haley out there who is fighting for a war. But at the same time, you've got Trump and DeSantis now on the same page when it comes to what's happening there and what our involvement should be. All right, folks, we've got a lot coming up, a lot of great guests as well. We're going to be talking, coming up with Trish Regan, talking about the latest with the banking crisis. Congressman Eric Burleson is going to be here. We had to reschedule him from yesterday. And Congressman Matt Rosendale. We're also going to get into some breaking news from Capitol Hill, where it turns out Border Patrol Chief Raul Ortiz is breaking with his boss, Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas. So we're going to get into all of that as well. And our good buddy Charles Thorngren from Legacy Precious Metals is going to drop by, and he's got some great advice for us on how we can protect our retirement accounts by divesting and being more diverse in how we're spending our money and what we're doing with our money, specifically when it comes to gold and silver. All right, folks, again, 844-747-8868, our telephone number. The website, toddstearns.com. And man, do we have some great stories for you to check out there. And also information on our upcoming trip to Israel. Lots of folks signing up for that, and we're so excited about that big adventure coming up in November. You can see all the information for yourself over at toddstearns.com. We'll be right back, folks.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love
this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, all you beautiful people out there. I know, you know, a lot of people are off this week across America, heading out to spring break. So folks are down at the beach, putting on the tanning oil, and you got the little fruity beverage with the umbrella. And then the rest of us are in the broadcast studio working today, and we're happy to do it. A lot going on around the nation, folks. And by the way, again, don't look at your 401k today. Just let it go. All right. Just let it go for a little while. Nothing you can do about it right now. Dow Jones down 645. NASDAQ is down. S&P 500 too. It's just going to be a tough day on Wall Street. I do want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and check in with our good friend, Trish Regan, host of the Trish Regan Show, and you can follow all of her great work. One of the smartest money people I know, TrishIntel.com. Hey, Trish, how you doing today?
Todd, I'm good. I'm trying not to look at my portfolio either.
Yeah, just let it be. Trish, where are we at here? Because, you know, the Biden administration said, hey, everything's hunky-dory, no need to worry. We got everything resolved with the banks going belly up.
On the one hand, yes. I mean, they basically said any bank that has a liquidity crisis, don't worry about it. If you're feeling like you're going to have a bank run, we're here. We're going to open this window, and you can borrow anything you need to borrow from us. And so it's a weird sort of almost nationalization of the banks. But they got that to that point. And I say that only because, look, I'm as conservative as they get, and I'm as free market as they get. I'm furious with what the Fed has done over the last several years with all the money printing. I'm furious with what the Biden administration did. Basically, they printed so much money for so long, and then when they finally realized, oops-daisy, we're going to get inflation, well, they found out they had to raise rates, which caused those treasury rates to go higher. People all of a sudden were like, okay, I can put my money in a treasury bond. Well, this is kind of where the problem kicked in. And so a bank, any of these regional banks that were investing in these treasuries, they, if they have to mark to market every day, are like, wait a second, oh, we don't have as much money as we thought, not unless we're going to hold this thing for 10 years. So I say that only because, Todd, the Fed created this problem, absolutely, positively, and then they bailed out the problem, absolutely, positively, but they kind of had to, because if they didn't, you know what, remember that scene from It's a Wonderful Life? You would have had George Bailey, savings and loans banks all over the country just decimated. People would have lost everything. It really would have been probably worse than the Great Recession. So they did what they had to do. The problem now is there's other banks that may have problems, and these are not sort of the mom-and-pop style banks. These are, in the case of Credit Suisse, investment banks. And that starts getting people nervous because they say, wait a second, what's on their balance sheet? I mean, at least the regionals were just holding treasuries. And treasuries, as long as we don't default on our debt, they're good as gold. Well, what's going on over at Credit Suisse? I should point out that Credit Suisse has had problems for a while. We knew about that, and the problem is very, very different. But what happens is fear starts spreading, and everybody's really scared right now. And they know that the Fed is out of they kept no powder dry. So when they raise rates next week, they kind of have to. People thought they were going to do a half a point. It's probably only going to be a quarter of a point. Goldman Sachs says they're not going to do anything. They're not going to raise at all. And I'm like, well, that's scary. Like, if they're not going to raise at all, that really tells us how worried they are. I think it's kind of a mess for a bit. And you're probably, like you said, as we started, you know, you're probably better off not looking at it. If you didn't get out ahead of time, I've been telling people to be extremely cautious this year, because when inflation comes to hit, it's going to come and hit big, and it's going to be bad. And so this is what we're looking at.
Trish, what are some things that the average Americans need to be learning? And I think one of the first things out of the gate is make sure that your savings, your checking account, everything is covered, and the bank does have that coverage. Because if they don't, you're just out of luck.
Right. So every bank, it covers an individual account. If you're married and you both have an account, you'd each get the separate provision. So you're covered in a typical bank account up to $250,000 with FDIC insurance. So that's the good news. And if you're a couple, you know, it's $500,000. If you're very wealthy, and this is what a lot of high net worth individuals do, is they spread around $250,000 here, $250,000 there, $250,000 here, $250,000 there. The problem is for businesses. So a lot of businesses, you know, they do have more than $250,000 in working capital on any given day. Well, nothing above $250,000 is insured by the FDIC. So then you got to say to yourself, well, I better be in a good bank, right? Maybe I don't want to be in a regional bank, because a regional bank doesn't have the same set of requirements. They don't go through the same kind of what they call stress tests that were put in some of that regulation back in 19, not thinking that you could start seeing bank runs a few years later. So that's the question I think people are going to be addressing. You may say, I don't want to be in a regional bank. I want to be at the J.P. Morgan Chase, the Bank of America, one of those bigger banks that has been subject to more regulation. Okay, fine, but I think the reality or the upshot, unfortunately, for society will be that a lot of people migrate to these bigger banks, which means bigger fees, less customers going to know your name, and you're going to have a whole bunch of big banks in this country instead of little smaller ones. So it's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate, and I think it kind of it moves us down the line closer to the full nationalization of banks. I think that's where this could ultimately end up if we have more hiccups like this. I think it's also a good opportunity to remind people you need to be a bit more diverse in your portfolio, and you need to be prepared because you never know what's coming down the pipe.
Yeah, no, it stresses diversity all the time because You need to just make sure that you have a very balanced portfolio, and especially if you're somebody who's looking to retire soon. You know, I don't know if this will continue because treasuries, the yields have come under pressure, but I've said to people, hey, why take all this risk in equities in the stock market if you can be in a bond that's guaranteed to give you 4%? I mean, hey, or in some cases 5%, I'll take it over the headache of up and down and all over the place.
Fair enough.
In the stock market.
Yeah, it's a great point. Trish.
And gold as well. I mean, yeah. There's lots of different ways you can think about this for sure.
Trish, we have got a bad phone connection, but I think we got the gist of that, and we always appreciate the great work you do. TrishIntel.com. Trish has great stories, great information, and she covers all sorts of stories but specializes in finance. Trish, always appreciate your great work.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. There we go. Trish Regan. So, yep. Trish, like she said, let's just go ahead, go about your day. Don't worry about your accounts today. Not much we can do. We do need to take a break, though. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. I really want to encourage you to check out toddstearns.com. We have some great stories up for you, and also information about our trip to Israel, Standing with Israel 2023. We're taking 100 of our listeners. If we have more, we're going to take more. We've got some room. But it's going to be a wonderful 7-day, 7-night journey across the Holy Land. And we're also going to be exploring some of the geopolitical side of the turmoil in the Middle East and why Israel is so important to the world. It's going to be a wonderful trip, and we want you to join us. And you can get all the information at toddstearns.com, and you can also call, and we'll be more than happy to help you out. That number, 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Mark Levin, the great one, weighing in. I want to read this to you in a series of tweets. Levin says, if I am the only voice willing to speak out, so be it. The phrase is peace through strength, not peace through pacifism. That's my Mark Levin impression. The latter of which is extremely provocative, especially given the enemies that are aligned against us as I write this, Russia, China, Iran, North Korea. All right, so are we supposed to fight them all? Is that what we're supposed to do? Unfortunately, history appears to be repeating itself. When Russia invades a European ally and threatens Poland, Romania, and the Balkan states, which is precisely what Putin has done, and when nearly the rest of the Eastern Bloc European countries, including neutral Finland, see the immediate danger, to pretend this is not happening is a gravely dangerous gambit. So Levin says, we got to go in. And I'm curious, what say you, ladies and gentlemen? Is this our fight? 901-260-5926. Let's go to Texas. Ron is on the line. Hey, Ron, what say you?
Well, I'll tell you what. I believe it's a biblical principle that when your allies go to war, you support them. And when you go to war, they support you. And, you know, we were at war with Afghanistan for the past 20 years. And if they supported us in the war that we were in, if they had 10% of their manpower and whatever they spent, we ought to match that and then some and support them in this war.
So we have a question up on the website, Ron, and on the Twitter feed. And, folks, I would encourage you to go and cast your vote. People are doing it. We just posted it. Should Biden send American troops to Ukraine, boots on the ground, to fight the Russians, as many as our conservative news channels and radio hosts are demanding? And so far, we've got we just put it up about 2 minutes ago, but we've got about 50 votes. So far, people are saying it's not our fight. So. Ron, do you have when you're trying to figure this out for yourself, what's the defining moment for you? We've got to send in our guys.
Well, I guess it's, have they been our ally in the past? But that should have already been decided.
Well,
we
it's a,
until the, you know, the house is on fire and then decide, well, let's make a decision what we're going to do.
It's a corrupt nation, no doubt about it. I'm not sure they're necessarily an ally, but more importantly, I think they were a buffer, and Russia considered them a buffer against NATO. And so with that buffer gone, Russia is concerned. They've got NATO on their doorstep. I think we would be saying the same thing, and we did the same thing back in the 1960s in the Cuban Missile Crisis, because we were almost ready to go to war because we didn't want Russia in our backyard, and Russia doesn't want us in their backyard.
Right. Well, I believe at that moment in time, I remember I was a kid, but I believe that our president was standing up saying, we're going to go to war, as in real war, not, well, we're just going to kind of think about it, and maybe we'll shoot back, maybe we won't, and they're just going to invade a little bit of it, that's okay, but if they invade more than that, we're going to write them a nasty letter, and maybe they'll quit.
Well, right now, we may as well make Ukraine our 51st state. I mean, we're sending them billions and billions of dollars, and I'm still not sure what the end game here is, and I really do think that Biden wants us in a shooting war with the Russians. And look, I believe in the military. I support the military, Ron, and I believe that if we are attacked, we should destroy whatever attacked us. I'm just not understanding why we should commit American treasure to defend Ukraine. I just don't understand that.
Well, you know, what astonishes me is they're spending billions of dollars and they're not keeping track of anything. They don't know if that half of that money turns around and comes back to the United States in somebody else's pocket, because we know that Ukraine's been corrupt forever. Or they have no tally on where all that money's going. Why would we give it to them? Why wouldn't we take them billions of dollars if we're going to support them, build tanks and planes, and send them over there with that money?
Well, and that's a fair question. And again, if we have an obligation, and hear me on this, if we have an obligation, if we have a commitment, a signed document with other nations saying, if Russia invade you, we go to war, then that's one thing. But we don't have that agreement with Ukraine. They're not a member of NATO. And it's a very different story. I understand what Levin is saying, but if the Russians decided to move on Poland, we would have to and we should intervene. I just don't understand why we're doing this with Ukraine, unless it has something to do with the Biden crime family syndicate's business holdings there.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you got to be a blind man not to see that.
Yeah. All right, Ron, good call, and I appreciate you listening to the program. And we have a lot of folks listening to us online in our live stream, and you can give us a call no matter how you listen to us, 844-747-8868. Again, that's a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. And we do have that poll up at Todd Stearns on Twitter. That's at Todd Stearns. And just as we were chatting here, yeah, we've got well over 100 people voting now. 98.1% say this is not our fight. That's it. And folks, I'm telling you, we have a lot of other dangerous areas, not the least of which is China and what they're going to do with Taiwan. Now, if China makes a move on Taiwan, you better believe we got to fight, because we have an agreement with Taiwan. We are to protect Taiwan. All right, coming up in just a little while, we're going to be checking in with Eric Burleson. He is the congressman out of the 7th Congressional District in Missouri. Now, a few moments ago, there was a very interesting hearing up on Capitol Hill with Homeland Security. Our good friend Congressman Mark Green from Tennessee chairs that committee. Now, a few days ago, you had Secretary Mayorkas up on Capitol Hill saying the border, they did have full control of the border. But the Border Patrol Chief, Raul Ortiz, testified just moments ago that that is not the case. He actually contradicted his boss. Let's take a listen to Cut 9.
Does DHS have operational control of our entire border?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you for that. I'd like to share it with the American people. This is the actual definition of operational control that is in the code, written into the code well before I came to Congress, the definition, and I appreciate the honesty of Chief Ortiz. Do you think that, let's play a video clip here. I just want to share this question.
Will you testify under oath right now, do we have operational control, yes or no?
Yes, we do.
And we have operational control of the borders.
Yes, we do.
Chief Ortiz, do you think that Secretary Mayorkas is lying there?
Sir, when you talk about operational control, about 10 years ago, we used operational control as a measuring stick of our effectiveness along the southwest border. My new strategy is geared towards mission advantage.
So I'm asking a very specific question.
Yes, sir.
And you're kind of describing how the goalpost has been moved because of the mass waves of people that are coming. My question, you heard the secretary. He said we have operational control. That's the definition of operational control.
Based upon the definition you have, sir, up there, no.
We don't have operational control.
No, sir.
But is Secretary Mayorkas lying?
I didn't see the rest of the testimony there, sir.
He was asked if we had operational control, and he said yes. I think it's either ignorance, which is unacceptable, or it's lying.
Well, there you go. Good for you, Congressman Green. Clearly, there is a massive problem. Over the weekend, over 1,000 migrants tried to storm the border at El Paso. The country is being invaded, ladies and gentlemen. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Congressman Eric Burleson from Missouri coming up next. All right, welcome back, everybody, on this great hump day. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line? Our good friend, Congressman Eric Burleson, joins us from the great state of Missouri. And, Congressman, I understand you were on a road trip the other day with a couple of other pals of mine, Andy Biggs and Tim Burchett. That must have been one heck of a trip down there to the border.
Yeah, it was. I really appreciate Andy Biggs organizing it, and Tim Burchett is—he's a hoot. He kind of can make it anything interesting, but
yes, he can. I hope they bought you lunch somewhere along the way.
We had some good food, good Texas barbecue.
You can't go wrong there. Congressman, I want to get into this. Just a few moments ago, we played some audio from this morning's Homeland Security hearing where you had the U.S. Border Patrol chief literally contradicting Alejandro Mayorkas and saying they do not have control of that border. Were you surprised by those remarks?
I'm not at all surprised, because it's true. They do not have control, and the law requires that Mayorkas maintain operational control. And when he's undermining it and changing policies that cause us to not have operational control, then it begs the question, you know, he's violating the law. It's time to impeach him.
Yeah, it's this is insane. We've had well over 2 million people last year crossing that border, which is almost a 50% increase from the year before. We're talking about state-sized population groups that are coming into this country. I just don't know. How do we sustain this?
It's not sustainable. I love the point you said state-sized, because state of Missouri population is around 6 million people. Since Biden has taken office, we've had 5 million people enter the United States illegally from our southern border alone. So he could populate the state of Missouri within the next couple of months with his policies. And every month, it's another 150,000 people at minimum. And then sometimes it's as high as 300,000 people pouring into the southern border. So, and what we learned when we toured is just how precious Title 42 is, because the only thing that's holding back Haitians and some people from these other countries from coming in is Title 42. And when that goes away, when you talk to Border Patrol agents, you can see the fear. I mean, they are terrified of what a wave, something worse than this. They feel like they're in a storm, and that if Title 42 goes away, it's going to be a tsunami.
Congressman, I saw the video, and we have it up on our website, folks, of what happened over the weekend when you had over 1,000 people storming the gates at El Paso. I mean, it's horrifying, Congressman. I don't know how they were able to hold them back, and I'm glad they did. But, I mean, how much longer are they going to be able to hold back this rampaging horde of people trying to invade our country?
They can't. And I think that's why the Biden administration wants them to come in. That's the only explanation for this. Their policies are ones in which they just want people to pour into the country because in some way it benefits their party apparatus.
Did you, Congressman, I know that you guys were talking to the rank and file Border Patrol, and these guys are just heroes in my book. Were you able to talk to the folks who live and work in the border towns? And what are they telling you?
You know, for them, the loss of services, for example, most of them have given up on the fact that they can get health care at their local hospital.
You're talking about American citizens.
Yeah, American citizens who are paying taxes to their state government can't even get access to the hospital that's down the road from them. And that's just tragic, that we basically have these hospitals that are there to serve the population south of us, not to serve us. Or serve the citizens there. It's appalling. So you can just imagine, and that's just one aspect, but imagine all the other services. And I will say this, like, you know, people, if you like the environment, or you care about the environment, just go look at the border. It will disgust you how much trash and clothing and everything is littered across every inch of the southern border. Because when they cross the Rio Grande, they dump everything. They'll change their clothes. They'll leave their clothes. They will leave bags. I mean, it is literally littered with trash all up and down every inch of the border.
It's just unacceptable. And I've seen the pictures, and it's just horrific. It looks like some sort of a third world refugee camp down there. And this is unfair. It's unfair to the American taxpayers that you just talked about. It's unfair to the ranchers. I mean, this poor guy who was arrested because he shot illegals that were on his property. You don't know who these people are coming across this border.
Yeah, I can't imagine. You've got people that you don't know who they are. And I'll say this, like, we learned that there's two different types of illegal immigrants. You've got the ones that are coming and they're turning themselves over in the middle of daylight. Like, they're coming. We witnessed people crossing at Del Rio right there, right? I mean, at the bridge or under the bridge they crossed and just right there and turned themselves into, to the border patrols, and that's what the cartels are doing. They're sending waves of people, thousands of people that way. People that have no criminal record, they maybe it's a family unit, and what they what the cartel is counting on is that they are overwhelming the agents there, so that they can then sneak people in through other parts of the border, and that's what they're doing. So the other side that we saw was we participated in a night patrol. They were using drones with infrared technology to monitor private fields and see people that, like heat signatures. The problem is that, you know, everything in the desert is hot. And so it's hard to distinguish people from animals or other things that are in the desert. So it's an art. It certainly is really an art. And there were, for example, they had, where we were at, we were tracking a family or a group. We don't know they were a family because it was just two kids and several adult men. We were tracking them, and we had drones on them, and they evaded us eventually. But then later on that night, that same group of patrol agents were able to capture a second group of people. So it just gives you an idea that as much as they may try, we just need more resources on the border.
Well, and they need the power to enforce that border. And quite frankly, from my estimation, we ought to shut that sucker down until we can get a handle on what's coming across.
Absolutely. We need to shut it down, build a wall, have strict policies, make it so that if they get caught, the penalty is such that they don't even want to risk coming. That's the goal.
That's it. That's it. All right. Well, Congressman, we appreciate your great insight and look forward to getting you back on the show soon.
Thank you. Can't wait.
All right. Congressman Eric Burleson, ladies and gentlemen, just back from the border. He was down there with our good friend Congressman Andy Biggs and also Congressman Tim Burchett from Tennessee. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. Let's go to Patty in North Carolina, wants to weigh in on Mayorkas. Hey, Patty, you just heard the congressman there. Can you believe it? American citizens denied health care because the hospitals are overrun by illegals.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to get my teeth fixed, okay? Mayorkas should be fine. I mean, they impeached Donald Trump over the stupidest things. How does this guy have a job?
The guy lied. He was caught in a lie.
Perjury, and the guy is still has a job. Why is that happening?
Well, the Democrats, and I think the congressman had a pretty good point here, this is all intentional. The Democrats need a new power base because the power base they have, look, I can't imagine a single person who lives in a border town, I can't imagine why they would ever vote for a Democrat knowing what has happened to their cities. They've been overrun.
Right. Exactly. And I totally agree, you know, but every time you see this guy open up his mouth, it's nothing but a bunch of lies. And you watch videos. Videos don't lie. And it's not only that. Well, you know what? They had an insurrection on January 6th. I think when they were starting to jump over the border, isn't that an insurrection, Todd?
Look, we're fighting a war in Ukraine over that right now.
Right. I mean, I've never seen anything go downhill and so fast. And where's our comedian in chief?
Well, great question. Patty, appreciate that call. I mean, folks, it's infuriating. It is absolutely infuriating. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
The Jeep Grand Cherokee 4xe. It's electrified. Boogie, woogie, woogie. So you can boogie, woogie, woogie into the forest. Boogie. Boogie, woogie, woogie through the mud. Or boogie, woogie, woogie to work, where you boogie, woogie, woogie down the hall to your boss's office to tell him you quit.
Sure got the boogie.
Then you boogie, woogie, woogie to the elevator as he boogie, woogie, woogies after you, begging, please, take me with you. Boogie. The electrified Jeep Grand Cherokee 4xe. Learn more at Jeep.com. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Of stories to share with you. This is from Brookline, Massachusetts. Warner Todd Houston is the writer over at Breitbart, and there's a big controversy over a transgender member of the girls' track team. So this is a boy. His name is Chloe Barnes, and Chloe's a big old fella, and he's a fast runner, but he's a really fast runner when he's running with the girls. And it turns out that he won the Massachusetts High School State Finals by beating out all these girls. And Mr. Barnes is now taunting the biological girls that he has to run against. And he told them, anybody who's got a problem with him being a boy who runs with the girls can just deal with it. Chloe Barnes joined the team this season as a varsity runner. He helped the school win the 200-meter relay, and he's a really good runner when he's running with the females. When he's running with the boys, not so much. A video of the race shows Barnes easily running far ahead of the natural-born girls, allowing his teammates to stay safely in the lead for the race. In fact, he can even be seen slowing down at least twice and looking behind at the female runners he was leaving in the dust. And even when he did that, the girls were not able to close the distance. He's a fast runner for a boy competing against girls. The school newspaper, The Cypress, reported in June of last year that as a sophomore, Mr. Barnes trained with the girls' team but ran with the boys, because he was afraid of the public's response if he were to compete as a girl. And then this year, he decided to officially join the girls' team, and it's created all sorts of chaos. Now, according to the state law, students who are transgender can participate on any team they want to. And there's nothing that the natural-born girls can do about it. The track coach insisted the school allow Mr. Barnes to make his choice, regardless of the policy. Coach Lee Eddy said, although there are laws that govern what we're supposed to do and everything else, I don't think Brookline would ever run afoul, even without the laws. I'm sure they would fully support any individual. In other words, the coach supports having a boy on the girls' team. And what coach would not? I mean, if you're a girls' basketball coach, you're praying that 5 or 6 of the 6'10" boys want to identify as girls, right? So they can win basketball games. Mr. Barnes is now taunting his female competitors, saying, deal with it, just deal with it. Actually, he said this as he was wearing his, lady regalia, deal with it, just deal with it, girls. Jeez-a-loo. Meanwhile, in Vermont, another story involving the boys who identify as girls. Vermont Christian School banned from future competition because they refused to play against a male athlete. We first told you about this story. This was Mid-Vermont Christian School, and they pulled out of the state basketball tournament because one of the competing players happened to be a boy.
Hello, my name is Shirley.
No, that's not how it works. So anyway, the school said this is a safety issue. This is also a religious issue. We're just not going to do that. And they pulled out. So now the state is punishing the school. They're not going to allow any of the Christian schools' teams to compete. They're all in trouble. Vermont law permits transgender females to compete in groups corresponding to their gender identity and bans discrimination based on sex. So they're alleging the Christian schools are now discriminating because they will not compete against boys who think they are girls. In October 2022, a middle school girls coach in Randolph was suspended after he misgendered a transgender student. The coach's daughter had earlier expressed discomfort with having the individual share the girls' locker room. So, long story short here, folks, the transgender people always win the day. That's it. You have no rights. Transgender rights transcend your rights. Period. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. James in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, James. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Listen, anytime you got a nation and you got a nation that people went along with this foolishness about these transgender. It's okay to be whatever you want to be, but don't intrude. It seemed like to me that a little boy want to play with little girls, then there's something wrong with that anyway. But if the people go along, see, the people have gone along with this foolishness and it's catching them by it. Well, by these females, they say they really love the ladies, the females and all this feminism and stuff. But why would you allow a little boy with a penis going to a bathroom with girls and say it's okay? That's insane to me. And the people in America is paying for this stupidity. Everything that happened in this country is, if we're supposed to be the government by the people, for the people, and all of that, but it's backwards. It's government for these idiots that tells you that they really don't care nothing about you. And I'm so glad, I'm going to change this. I'm so glad I saw on this YouTube where these black young people, I couldn't tell you how many it was, but they were really talking about how the Democrat Party has really, really made their community just disconnected all the way with the father and the. I grew up with a mom and a dad and a grandma and all of that, and that is some loving stuff. But I had some cousins that only had a mother, but that didn't make them no less than me. They succeeded, they did what they did. They didn't blame on no two parent family.
There you go.
The grandmamas and the aunts and all that kind of stuff. So this foolishness is happening in America, and everybody going along with it. And these people are a few. Ain't that many that gum transgenders walking around? Yet. They don't pay taxes like you in America do. So why would you continue on going along with this foolishness?
There you go. James, hey, we're running out of time, but look, you're preaching to the choir here. I miss the old days. Remember Archie Bunker? Boys were boys and girls were girls, and well, there you go. Hey, stick around. Hour 3 coming up next. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hour 3 underway. Wow, we've got a lot happening this hour of the show. And just a word for those of you that follow us on ToddStarnes.com. We have, I think, 2 or 3 million people a month on the website, and we appreciate all of you. Every now and again, we get complaints from folks, though, and it hurts our feelings. Well, no, not really. But we do feel bad, but we have a lot of ads, and people get a little frustrated with the pop-up ads. And if you've been on any website, you know what I'm talking about. So we've got a workaround. We have created a subscription-based Substack. And if you go to Substack, toddstarnes.substack.com, that's toddstarnes.substack.com, you'll be able to sign up for $5 a month. You get all of our content ad-free. So it's just a workaround for those of you who might get frustrated. We're still going to have the same content on toddstarnes.com. We're not taking anything away. We're just offering you the opportunity to get that content ad-free by buying a monthly subscription. So be sure to check out toddstarnes.substack.com, and you'll be able to do that. All right, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Good to have with us from the great state of Montana, our good friend Congressman Matt Rosendale. Congressman, hope you're doing good today.
I'm doing fabulous. I'm sitting in Billings, Montana right now. Just left the jobs jamboree, and it is lightly snowing.
Is that right? Well, yes. It's we're in the 40s here in Memphis, so we don't have snow, but a lot of people on vacation doing the spring break thing, and it's good. A lot of our lawmakers like yourself back in the home district, that always has to be great.
It is. It is. I'm going to meet with the sugar beet growers a little bit later on this afternoon and go down to the tribal college down in Hardin just after that. We've got a full list of events to make sure that we're getting feedback from everybody around the district.
You know, Congressman, I have to imagine folks are a little nervous right now about the banking situation and the Biden administration's handling of that. Stock market taking a beating today as well. What are you hearing back in your district?
So people are concerned about the same things when they look at this banking situation. They recognize that there was some things that were put into place that lead to this problem, okay? And without consuming all of our time, let's just suffice it to say that over-government spending, which creates the necessity for the federal government to create more debt, and the federal government owns that debt. They let that debt out at fixed rates. Okay, so the Treasury, we've got all this loan to the federal government at fixed rates, which are low, which then leads to these banks purchasing them because they think that they are very secure, very sound investments. But as the interest rates go up, which they need to help us get rid of the inflation that was caused by over-government spending anyway, the value of those notes becomes less because they're at fixed rates for such a long time. And so what I want to make sure of is that we don't exacerbate this situation by creating yet another loan program for these banks that made bad investments and allow them to borrow more money against these treasuries based upon their face value as opposed to their actual market value. If you lend more money against an asset than it's worth, you're setting yourself up for a larger disaster. This is exactly what happened with the housing bubble. You start lending more money than what the market value is on a property against bad notes, and it doesn't end well. So folks are concerned. We don't see any runs on banks here in Montana. People understand that they need a certain amount to get through the month, and they're making sure that they have adequate revenue to do that. But it, when you look at the rest of the country and how this could start some kind of a cascading effect, people are monitoring it.
Congressman, I know you had a big victory with some legislation that you've been working on, the Restore Onshore Energy Production Act. And if nothing else, you know, we have seen this administration really attacking domestic energy, and that concerns me because I don't like us having to rely on other countries for anything.
I don't either, Todd. I wish that this administration would attack the southern border the way that they're attacking our energy production. You know, we're down about 2 million barrels a day of domestic energy production, and we've been talking about it for the last 2 years because Biden started off immediately, as we all know, striking the permit for the Keystone XL, canceling the lease operations on federal public lands, and just did everything he could to reduce the domestic production, meanwhile causing us to be more reliant on our adversaries and tyrants around the world. So this package of bills that we were able to pass through the House Natural Resource Committee last week, I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud that one of my pieces of legislation was included in it to make sure that we do hold these lease sales every quarter as we are supposed to, that if they do miss one of those lease sales, that it is held immediately as soon thereafter as possible within the same fiscal year, and that the only way that they can slow them down or place a moratorium on those sales is by an act of Congress. The executive cannot, the president cannot just come out and say, yeah, we're just not going to do that anymore. We need this energy. It's good for our economy. It's good for helping to reduce inflation by keeping the energy costs down for homes and vehicles and everything else. And it certainly is critically important for our national security.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now, Congressman Matt Rosendale. And Congressman, another big story coming out. This is a headline from Fox News. Biden's washing machine rule would make Americans dirtier and stinkier and raise prices. What in the world? So they were coming after our stoves, and now they're coming after washing machines.
I'm taking my dry cleaning up to the White House next week.
Good for you.
I'll let them take care of it. I mean, why in the world is the federal government inserting themselves into the manufacturing and the sale of products across the country? It is absolutely ridiculous. It's ridiculous. We've got a southern border that is wide open, 300,000 to 400,000 illegals a month coming in, fentanyl streaming like a waterfall cascading over the rocks into the country, killing the youths across the country from overdoses. We've got foreign affairs issues in a shambles, and he's worried about how much water is being used in the washing machine. It's ridiculous. It's negligent. It's malfeasance.
But in a way, it's really interesting and somewhat strategic, because what they're doing is implementing the Green New Deal without calling it the Green New Deal. That's what they're doing with all this stuff.
Yeah, and we've seen how that is working out. Let me tell you something. I talked to two car dealerships here in Montana, and they have dropped their Buick dealerships, because Buick has come out and said that they're going to make only EVs, only electric vehicles. And if you don't ramp up your service department to be able to maintain these products, then these guys are they're dropping entire automobile lines because of the federal government coming in trying to force this new Green Deal on operations from washing machines to the energy production. It is driving up the cost of your residential energy because of the mandated renewables that are being forced upon the portfolios of the energy companies. If California wants to go and do this and implement these things, that is their voters' issues. But the federal government should not be coming in and mandating all of this Green New Deal stuff. It's costing taxpayers money because we're subsidizing it, and it's costing households monthly income because of the additional expense associated with it.
All right, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Hope you enjoy your time back home in the district.
Hey, thanks for fighting for everybody, Todd. We need you out there.
You got it. Appreciate you, Congressman. All right, folks, Congressman Matt Rosendale on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Wow. So they're going after the washing machines. They're going after refrigerators, and they're going after stoves. And I'm telling you, there is going to be a fight. If you think that all of the good Southern and Midwestern women of America are going to take this without a fight, yeah, you got another thing coming. They will be armed with cast iron skillets, daring anyone to try and stop them from taking away their stoves. And that's just not going to happen. But you have to think that the Democrats want to take us back to the Stone Age, where the women are out there in the backyard with the washboard, hanging up all the clothes on the clotheslines. I mean, this is insane. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. And again, if you go to our brand new Substack page, this is an opportunity for you to get all of our content ad-free. It's a $5 a month charge. That's the give and the take here. But you'll be able to, you won't have to worry about all the pop-up ads and all of that kind of stuff. ToddStarnes.substack.com. Go over there and check that out. We'll be right back, America. Let's get back to the phones. We're heading over to the West Coast, Oregon. Ron hanging out with us on KYKN today. Hi, Ron. What's on your mind?
Well, on my mind, several things. Let's start with that wash machine thing. They're trying to do it in Oregon. All they want to do is filter out Micron. It does not help American wash machine companies. They want to jack the rate on the working class and middle class on that stuff. Two, let's talk about the Saudi Arabia situation with them taking 10% of their money away from Credit Suisse. Let's go back to 1973 on them. Number one, remember when they had the oil embargo and the Israeli was being attacked by the Arab nation, and they asked for their payments in oil be paid in gold, the last part before we got off the gold standard completely. Then we go come forward. We have seven nations, including Argentina, as of last month, a month ago this past Saturday, who has gotten even a $25 billion bonus from China, and they've got 263 billion yuan, that's $25 billion today. The ultimate goal between them, the Democrats, the big guy, with these bank corruptions, with this wokeness policies in that bank and other parts of the banking industry, and their mismanagement, including the Federal Reserve in San Francisco, who resigned, that was part of SVB, is to take us off world currency, make us special, because you got to have $3 trillion in commerce that we did with these countries every year to sit idle. Because what happens? Pretty soon I'll be carrying a little purse full of damn dollar bills, $100 bills, to buy a loaf of bread, just like the one I was up in 1923.
That's it. Ron, you're spot on accurate. That, and I don't like sitting next to stinky people on the bus, so they can't be taking away our washing machines. Can't be doing that.
No.
All right, Ron, it's a good thought you had, and I appreciate you calling in today. Folks, it's a mess out there. It is an absolute mess, but elections have consequences. We've got a chance to get this fixed. By the way, Congressman Chip Roy out of Texas just came out today and officially endorsed Ron DeSantis. So folks are going to start picking sides here. And don't be surprised if you see a lot of conservatives, a lot of folks who were on the Trump bandwagon going to other candidates. Now, which is fine. But the issue here is what happens once Trump gets the nomination? That's the big question. Will everybody climb on board? All right. By the way, you folks in Oregon, you guys are a freaky bunch. Got a story here from Eugene, Oregon. A controversial and shocking homework assignment for high school students under fire. Students were asked to write a short story. You know what, Kyle? You know what we need here, Kyle? We need some Barry White baby making music. Let's see if we can't find any here. And you just bring it up when you find it. We're on the fly here. So anyway, this story from the pages of the Eugene newspaper and television station, KPTV. They assigned the children at this high school a sex education assignment. And this is a weird one.
So,
all right, Barry, here we go. The kids were asked to write a short story depicting a sexual fantasy.
I'm here, baby. I'm ready, baby.
Well, here we go, Barry. If you're ready, I'm ready. The story. And this is the assignment, verbatim. You will write a short story of a paragraph or two. The story is sexual. It's a sexual fantasy. It will have no penetration or any other kind of oral sex. Jeez, Lou, that escalated quickly. The lesson goes on to say, there's no way of passing an STI if you have no penetration. You will choose three items for your sex essay. Romantic music, candles, massage oil, feather boa, flavored syrup. Oh, God, this is terrible. So they're telling the kids you got to use some of these items, three of them, in your love story, your romance story. And your story has to show that you can show and receive loving physical affection without having sex. This is bonkers. Thank you, Barry. But I will say this. I'm curious, though, because the flavored syrup thing's kind of weird. But I'm not sure if you're writing a romantic story, which of the three would you pick? You got the romantic music, the candles, the massage oil. Would peanut oil do, or does it have to be a massage oil? What about olive oil? Clearly extra virgin I don't think is in play here. Then you've got the feathers and the feather boa and the flavored syrup. I mean, is that romantic? Really? You're going to have a night of romance and you walk in wearing a bathrobe and a feather boa and a big bottle of Mrs. Butterworth? Is that? I don't know. It's just weird, man. Real weird. Well, after the assignment got the attention of the community, folks really got a little nervous and said, what the heck is going on? Apparently, another controversial assignment in the high school involved a spinning wheel labeled with various sex acts. When the wheel stopped on one of the acts, the students were asked to write the initials of both a boy and a girl in the class that they would do the activity with. Something tells me it wasn't Twister. The principal said the school uses a curriculum in health class called OWL, Our Whole Lives. The superintendent of the school approved of the process for a new curriculum that will eventually replace OWL. Who thinks this is okay? Churchill High School. Football coach is in charge of the health class. You know, that's the way it was back when I was in school, but the only wheel we had was Wheel of Fortune. And they weren't getting too jiggy on that. I got to take a break here. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Happy to have you with us today. So I want to play some audio here. This is just insane. Again, going back to the Border Patrol, our good friend, Congressman Mark Green, holding hearings today up on Capitol Hill. And now you have the Border Patrol chief contradicting the Secretary of Homeland Security, cut number 9.
Does DHS have operational control of our entire border?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you for that. I'd like to share it with the American people. This is the actual definition of operational control that is in the code. Written into the code well before I came to Congress, the definition, and I appreciate the honesty of Chief Ortiz. Do you think that, let's play a video clip here. I just want to share this question.
Will you testify under oath right now, do we have operational control, yes or no?
Yes, we do.
And we have operational control of the borders.
Yes, we do.
Chief Ortiz, do you think that Secretary Mayorkas is lying there?
Sir, when you talk about operational control, about 10 years ago, we used operational control as a measuring stick of our effectiveness along the southwest border. My new strategy is geared towards mission advantage.
So you know, I'm asking a very specific question.
Yes, sir.
And you're kind of describing how the goalpost has been moved because of the mass waves of people that are coming. My question, you heard the secretary. He said we have operational control. That's the definition of operational control.
Based upon the definition you have, sir, up there, no.
We don't have operational control.
No, sir.
But is Secretary Mayorkas lying?
I didn't see the rest of the testimony there, sir.
He was asked. You saw. He was asked if we had operational control, and he said yes. I think it's either ignorance, which is unacceptable, or it's lying.
All right. There you go. That was from earlier today. All I can say is we've got to get control of the border. If we do not have border security, we do not have sovereignty. So we got to get control of the borders, folks. It's all there is to it. By the way, Mexico, yeah, they want to secure their border, and that's okay. Anybody comes across that border, they get thrown in jail. By the way, you know what they're actually doing in Ukraine right now about their border? They're fighting a war, and we're funding it. So if we can fund Ukraine's war over their border, why can't we fund the war that's currently being waged on our border? All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. I've been waiting to speak to Charles Thorngren for all week, the chief executive officer of Legacy Precious Metals. And Charles, I know you're not one of these guys to say I told you so, but I told you so.
I'll let you say it for me, Todd.
No, it's, you know, one of the first things that we talked about on Monday's program with this banking crisis is you have to diversify your portfolio, and you've been preaching about this from day one.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've always spoke about it in the terms of us, but this also shows you that, you know, companies and banks also need that same diversification. This is what happens when you don't. You put all your eggs in one basket, you take all this risk, failure follows every time. And this just magnifies how important it is for you and I to do that as well.
Folks, I would encourage you to check out their incredible website, and it's really fascinating, legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com, and there are all sorts of great resources for you there. And Charles, I just want to take folks through what they need to be doing. So we've come through, at least we hope we've come through this initial banking crisis. What do folks need to be looking at right now as far as securing their future?
The big thing they need to look for is to make sure that they are diversified. That means not just having multiple different types of stock. It's looking at the market, and we see all the equities markets are down today. We have metals up. Real estate's in trouble. Higher interest rates make real estate more problematic as an investment. So you need to look at your portfolio and say, where is the safety? Where is the safety amid the trouble that's yet to come? As far as banking issues go, this is the beginning, folks. This is not the end. This is the start of it. We see Credit Suisse is in trouble now, too. And banks have a way of bleeding into each other when it comes to problems. So look at that portfolio and say, how much risk am I willing to take? And then say, this is the risk I can take, I can afford to take. Now let me find the safety that I need for the rest of my portfolio. And that's where we come in. We help you establish the safe route for the term that you have towards retirement to withstand the storm that's yet to come until inflation gets defeated. So this is what they should be looking at. How can I establish something that I understand to help me go forward?
Now, you mentioned something. I like the way you frame this on the website. You know, again, looking at gold IRAs, for example, you say that gold is a safe haven investment. What do you mean by that? Can you explain that?
Gold is basically the hedge against currencies around the world. As the dollar gets weaker because of inflation, it loses its purchasing power, gold gets stronger. As the markets collapse, gold is the go-to place. And it's been that way since the beginning of time. In fact, you'll see that, you know, the central banks around the world have just recently, up until last month, had purchased 339 tons of gold to back the financial institutions of the world, of nations. So that's what we mean by the safe haven. They knew that trouble is coming. Banks are in trouble. The markets are in trouble. Inflation is not going to be fixed anytime soon. And there's more debt coming. So gold is the thing that protects you from all of those experiences. Anything that makes your dollar weaker, anything that weakens your purchasing power, anything that causes a negative drain in your portfolios, gold acts as the hedge. It's the other side of the seesaw. This is why we always say you should have some gold. And now you should probably look to increase that percentage because we see the troubles that are here.
Now, Charles, on the website, you guys have a great free gift for people, and it's a guide on how to invest in gold and silver. And folks, you can get that by simply going to legacypminvestments.com. That's legacy, the letter PM, investments.com. What are people going to find in this material?
They're going to find a lot of the basic information on precious metals. Most people aren't familiar with it at all. And what we've seen is that guide will actually cause you to have some more questions. And that's okay. When that happens, you give us a call. We have account reps here that will answer all your questions, and we educate people. We're not salespeople per se. We don't push you. We want to make sure we answer your questions, and more importantly, is develop some rapport between you so that we can figure out the best route for you.
And of course, we have a lot of younger listeners as well, and they're nowhere near retirement age. And of course, some of us in our 50s are nowhere near retirement age as well. but that's the time that you need to start preparing, and you can go ahead and start investing in gold. The younger, the better, really.
Absolutely. When it comes to retirement or any investment, The most important thing you have is time. Time is on your side. The more time you give yourself to invest, the better the results. So it's never too soon, but it's also never too late.
All right. Again, folks, LegacyPMInvestments.com. Charles Thorngren is the Chief Executive Officer of Legacy Precious Metals. Charles, looking again, and the stock markets are just in the throes of chaos today. And as you said, this is really not going to get any better anytime soon. So now is the time to start taking a look at your portfolio and making sure that you've got a very diverse portfolio across multiple platforms.
Absolutely. That is the key. The more diversity, the better.
All right. Good stuff. Well, Charles, we appreciate you checking in with us today. And you were honestly, when I saw what was happening with the Silicon Valley Bank, I kept thinking, what's Charles saying about all of this?
Thanks for having me, Todd. All right, and Charles, you know me well. We spoke a lot about it.
Yes, we did. We certainly did. All right, Charles, appreciate that. And folks, again, LegacyPMInvestments.com. I've purchased gold from these guys, and they do a great job. Actually, all of my gold came from Legacy, and it's good. You know, you have that reassurance that it's going to be there and everything's going to be okay. Again, the key here is to be diverse in your financial platforms. Folks, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Says that he's supporting Ron DeSantis. Says it's time for younger leadership. Agree, disagree, 844-747-8868. That's our phone number. Let's go to Georgia. Mike hanging out with us on WDUN, our great affiliate there, wants to talk about Ukraine. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Todd?
Doing well. Thank you.
I just got to throw something out there that I'm not... I've got too old to fight and everything, but I pay taxes all my life, and I'm in my 80s. But I'm just wondering what other people's opinion is about. I understand we're helping Ukraine, all that, a lot of money, and we're not protecting ours like we talked about that before. But I'm just interested to know what people think about NATO is not going their fair share. So my opinion is, why don't they get together, all get together on the borderline with whatever they're going to furnish, for it be equipment, money, or what have you, and go in and defend Russia with Ukraine instead of just us fitting all the bills?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mike. And if you remember back in, back in the last administration, when Donald Trump made that a key part of his foreign policy, making NATO pay their fair share. And you had so many critics on the other side, including Republicans, saying, how dare you? How dare you ask Europe to pay their fair share? This is our responsibility. Trump said, hey, it's not our countries. You know, we're not the ones who have to worry about being invaded. We're doing above and beyond. And what happened? Sure enough, Mike, after Trump threatened to pull out of NATO, guess what happened? Everybody found that money. They ponied up the cash.
Yes, sir. Yes. But like I said, Germany didn't want to send the tanks. Remember that?
That's right. This is yeah, Mike. This is a NATO problem. This is not a United States problem. It is a NATO problem.
Exactly. I'll agree 1,000%. That's what I'm saying. You know.
And I'll take it a step further. I'll take it a step further, Mike. If Ukraine joins NATO and they sign off, then I say we do whatever we have to do to defend a NATO ally. But Ukraine is not a NATO ally.
Exactly. Exactly. But our border is.
Yes, sir.
Is our responsibility.
And I'll say this again, Mike. We were ready to fight a war, a nuclear war, with Russia over Cuba because they parked those missiles right in our backyard. And you don't think Russia's seeing what's happening in Ukraine? They consider this to be their Cuba.
Yeah, I understand that. We are literally being run over by our Democratic Party.
No doubt about it. All right, Mike, good call. Thank you, sir. Let's go down to Louisiana. John, listening to us on the great KROF. Hey, John, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm from Lafayette, Louisiana, the heart of Acadiana, and the best Cajun food in the United States, and a very close neighbor to the Abita Brewery in Covington, Louisiana.
John, don't toy with me. I'm an Abita Springs root beer man.
I know. My question is, who is the puppeteer pulling the strings in Washington?
My money is on, it's a combo platter of Barack Obama and Susan Rice. That's who I think is ultimately running the show behind the scenes.
Well, do you think George Soros has anything to do with it?
Yes. I mean, George, and the problem with Soros is I think he's endangered the country more by investing in these district attorney races. And he's responsible for causing this massive rise in crime across the country. And yeah. And there's no accountability. You've got criminals just running free now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, just wanted to know who's a puppeteer. Maybe is Bill Baird come back to life?
That's my take on it. Now, John, let's talk about basketball. You've got the Raging Cajuns down there, and of course, big basketball. Now, who do you guys play in the tournament?
Unfortunately, I am not a basketball fan, so I don't
know. Okay. Well, your basketball team, they're on my list. They're in my bracket, so I'm pulling for you guys.
Well, good for you. Thank you very much, man.
One final question. Where can a man get a good po' boy down in Lafayette?
Let's see. I think it's the City Grocery on West St. Mary.
Is that the one right down from the university?
That's the one down from the university.
I've been there a time or two when I go to visit KROF and the sister station, KPEL, and they got a great roast beef debris po' boy on the menu.
Their shrimp po' boy ain't bad either.
No, sir, it's not. That'll put a hurting on you, though, I'll tell you. All right, John, don't be a stranger. Love hearing from our friends down in Cajun country.
Thank you very much. Have a great day, and God bless you.
All right, you too. God bless you. I'll tell you, fellas, between the Mrs. Butterworth and the feather boa and a shrimp po' boy, we've had one heck of a day here on the program. All right, folks, tomorrow we are back at it again. In the meantime, don't forget, check out toddstearns.com, and we really would love for you to check out our Substack. This is the free, ad-free version of our website. You pay $5 a month, you get all of our content ad-free, and we just do that to cover the bills and to pay the staff, and it's not a lot of money, but we know that everybody's asking for a buck here or there, but we want to make sure that you have the option. We've heard from so many of you talking about the pop-up ads and all that kind of stuff, and we really do believe this is the great work around, and you can go to substack.com and search for us, or just go to toddstearns.substack.com, and you'll be able to sign up and get your subscription to our daily commentaries and columns and stories. And also, while you're there, we have a great selection of books. Mother's Day is coming up, also Easter. And if you're looking for a wonderful gift book, I've got to tell you about our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl. This book has become a bestseller, and it's been really a surprise because it's not a political book. It's a collection of wonderful, inspirational, and hilarious stories about life in the country. And the way we frame it, country is not a location, it is a state of mind. And we also have some wonderful, good old-fashioned Southern recipes. You're going to love the food. You're going to love the conversation. Some great Bible verses. And you can get yourself an autographed copy. And I'm also happy to inscribe it to your mom or grandma or aunt or whoever you're getting the book for. We're happy to do that. But you got to go to toddstearns.com and go to our store. You can also get the book wherever you buy books, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, you name it. If you live in the Memphis area, Novel Memphis, which is my favorite independent bookstore, they've got a good supply of the books, and you can get one there. Our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl, co-written by my dear friend Michelle Cox. You're going to love it. All right, folks, we got to scoot out of here. It's been a great day. We have staved off World War III and kept the banks open for another day. That's a good thing. You get out there and be good, America.